MZTV.
Good day, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. Another show today on the gift that keeps giving, which is grace, the solution for everything. But it must be trusted. It's difficult to trust it because it's invisible and it doesn't always work right away. When I say work, it doesn't always do what you want it to do, but in the long run, it is the only effective measure against our most troublesome problem, the flesh. The first thing I want to share with you today is I sent a copy, an early copy. As you know, I only got 10 copies printed up so far of Zender on Romans Volume 1, and I sent a copy, a signed copy, to my son, Gabe, my oldest son, and this book is dedicated to him, to Gabe, who gets it. And I mailed him a book. He got it yesterday. And this is him holding the book. But now I want you to look at this remarkable photo. This is Gabe, of course, holding up my book next to his own face. Is that my kid or what? I saw that for the first time this morning, and the first thing I did was laugh because it was just shocking. But then I wept, not exaggerating, because not only is he an offspring of my flesh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, but he is a brother in Christ. And he gets all the truths that are in that book. And just to see that picture of him next to me in a book containing these great riches in Romans, some of which I will be referring to tonight, it was just a real startling, wonderful, beautiful blessing God has given me. So I wanted to share that with you. I know you will appreciate that. So, again, I'm going to visit the topic, a case study, really, on the struggle against the flesh, which none of us ought to be engaged in. We know that our friend Caitlin Green, the daughter of Johnny Green, as has been explained by her and her father, she had a battle, she had a problem with drugs. I don't know the specifics of this, but I do know that she came under the teaching of the grace of God. She came under the teaching of Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not those on the earth. She came under the teaching of Philippians 4:6. Let nothing be worrying you. She came under the teaching of Romans 8:1. Nothing is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. These things are known as walking in spirit. But again, as I said yesterday, I'm going to get some new verses today from Colossians, as I promised yesterday, and an amazing verse that I have never emphasized. Again, see, the fruit is still coming out here. The fruit is still being produced by this contradiction, by this false teaching that grace is not enough. Peace is deceptive. If anyone is at peace, according to our enemies, then there's something wrong. We shouldn't be at peace. We should be in a life and death struggle against our flesh because that is the only thing that works. Because I have learned through a subsequent video of Johnny's that his daughter has enjoyed deliverance. And as I told you yesterday, I rejoiced on that. But this is my question to you. And I introduced this yesterday. What caused the success? Because we know from her father's teachings that he emphasizes self-examination, setting your affection on your own walk, making yourself look like Jesus. And Caitlin herself said, quote, the Apostle Paul struggled every day against his sinful nature. And I proved to you that, no, that was Saul the Pharisee that did that. And Paul the Apostle was completely delivered from it. Then how did she experience this deliverance? And that's a good question. Let me draw up an analogy for you. I thought of this, as I think of a lot of my thoughts, while I was running. Let's say there's a woman who wants to become pregnant. And she asks her friends, what do I do to become pregnant? And they say, well, have sexual relations with your husband. So the woman does that. And then she waits for a couple days, waits 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, a week, doesn't see any results. And so she goes online and she finds this obscure old wives' tale type cure. It says, if you eat 17 purple jelly beans every day, you will become pregnant. And so she obviously didn't get any results from having sexual relations with her husband, so she started eating 17 purple jelly beans a day. Not 18 pink jelly beans, not 13 white ones. No, 17 purple jelly beans every day. And what do you know? Lo and behold, 2 months goes by and she starts to see that she is with child. She knows, she feels, she sees. And she rejoices in the 17 purple jelly bean cure. Now, I don't know what steps Caitlin took after she received the message of the grace of God, of setting her affection on things above, not that on the earth, or not looking at herself, not examining herself, letting the peace of God wash over her. If she legitimately grasped that evangel, then it is that evangel that is now producing her liberation from this problem. And yet, whatever fleshly exercises, and they can only be fleshly exercises, as I'm going to tell you, whatever fleshly exercises she did subsequent to hearing the gospel of the grace of God had no effect whatsoever. In fact, the grace of God worked in spite of whatever she did subsequent to hearing that message, if indeed she heard, understood it, and grasped it. And I do not know. I cannot sit here and tell you for a fact that she did grasp it. I don't know. But now there's the false sense that the 17 purple jelly beans, i.e. the works of the flesh, that she now promotes along with her father, namely struggle. My sense is that she never truly grasped the truth of the power of the grace of God. The grace of God has power to change people. If people trust it, if people, first of all, believe it, then trust it, then wait on it. And waiting on it is part of trusting it, isn't it? Because it's not like taking a magic pill where things instantly happen. The flesh will, on occasion, take advantage of grace when it first hears the grace message. So isn't this interesting? You can have someone who hears a message of grace and freedom and peace and not worry. And that person might appear to go 3 steps backwards. And on the other hand, you could have someone who's struggling mightily, who's practicing mantras, who is keeping a chart of their progress in the flesh. And this person might appear at first to be making progress. But one cannot judge these things in the short term. Because any foundation based on fleshly works is destined to fail. In the long run, it will fail. And even the success in the short run is worthless because it is not based on a walk in spirit. It is based on activities of the flesh. And so Christ looks beyond the surface activities, the surface so-called success, even the surface failure, and he sees to the heart, to the foundation of the matter. Is the foundation grace? Is the foundation peace? Is the foundation there is now therefore no more condemnation? Or is the foundation asceticism, struggle, self-examination? And it takes a spiritual eye to be able to look at someone who's enjoying temporary successes based on sweat and to see the faulty foundation and to shake the head and say, no, this is all a Hollywood wall and it's going to fall at the first blast of wind. And it also takes a similar spiritual eye to see someone like, for instance, David, who sinned terribly while trusting God and having a heart for God. And of course, you reap what you sow in the flesh for sin, and David reaped what he sowed. And yet, the foundation was true. And the future king of Israel will be David. It will not be the good boy down the street who did everything right based on self-examination, based on a walk in accord with flesh, based on trying to obtain to some outside ideal, like Saul, the Pharisee, the ideal for him was the law. And I dare say that that man behaved himself in an exemplary way. And I'm sure part of his anger against those who followed Jesus was the fact that they were a ragtag fugitive fleet and they were probably not very accomplished in the ways of moral superiority. And yet there was he, the great Pharisee, doing everything right, everything right. So someone with a non-spiritual eye would look at Saul and say, this man is stellar. What an example of following the law of God. What an example of a guy who's really built on the right foundation. And yet we know, and Paul found out, that his foundation was straw. His foundation was nothing. He considered it garbage when he realized Christ. And yet this other person in the first century following Jesus Christ, the Pharisee Saul, would have looked at him and just disdained this person. They disdained Jesus for picking grain on the Sabbath, for healing on the Sabbath. So, if you were to look at the Pharisees and say, well, they did everything right on the Sabbath, but this carpenter from Nazareth, he's sinning on the Sabbath. And yet, who has the right foundation? It takes spiritual vision. And I fear that if Caitlin has built her success on struggle, which she teaches now along with her father, they teach struggle. That's their teaching, struggle against sin. Struggle, struggle, struggle. And I'm quoting her from one of her comments. Then they are building their house on sand, and it is a house of sticks, and it will fall. And then they might point at me and say, well, Martin Zender, he's such an imperfect person. He drinks whiskey on his show. Cheers. Doing it now. And yet, who's building their house on the foundation of Christ? I hate to call it my teaching, so I'll call it Paul's teaching. Set your affection on things above, Colossians 3:2, Philippians 4:6, let nothing be worrying you. Romans 8:1, nothing is now condemnation. This is known as walking in spirit. I want to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, a verse I don't often go to. Listen to this. You may read this at first and get the wrong idea about it, but let me read it to you and see what you think about this. Now I am saying, walk in spirit, and you should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. There it is, Martin. See? If you walk in spirit, you should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. That is, you won't do these sinful things. And I would respond, what do you mean? Are you telling me that self-examination is a walk in spirit? Do you really think that putting up a poster of Christ in your bedroom and trying to be like Jesus every day, do you really think that's a walk in spirit? Do you really think struggling against your sinful nature every day is a walk in spirit? That is a walk in flesh. What I promoted and taught to Johnny and Caitlin, which they have since thrown out because they didn't see instant results, that's a walk in spirit. What's a walk in spirit? Set your affection on things above. Don't worry about anything. Nothing is now condemnation. This verse proves that the only way anyone can have success against our worst problem, which is the flesh, is to do those things that are so counterintuitive, also known as walking in spirit. This teaching of Paul's is walking in spirit. Caitlin's teaching, and she's trying to come across as a teacher now that she's had this success, is struggle. So I can only surmise from that her victories are based on struggle. And I fear, because that is a house of sticks. And it will blow down. It's a Hollywood wall. It will crumble at the first wind of adversity. When adversity comes, the house of sticks falls. But the house that is built slowly and surely upon the grace of God, that house is built on the right foundation, on walking in spirit, not in flesh. That house will stand when the wind comes and the rain comes and the wind blows. It will stand the test. This other house, no. Johnny recommended examining yourself. This is the opposite of walking in spirit. It is walking in accord with flesh. You recommended setting your affection on your body. Challenging yourself to look like Jesus. These things do not work. In the short term, you might look better than the person whose house is founded on Christ, but we're not interested in the short term. We're interested in the long term. And in fact, we're actually just interested in the foundation. That's all we're interested in. The right teaching. Did you know that there was actually a verse in Scripture that uses the phrase, behaved ourselves? We behaved ourselves. Did you know that? I've never read this verse as far as I know. Maybe I have. I don't remember ever doing it. But this controversy has once again brought out a great nugget of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and sincerity of God, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we behaved ourselves in the world. Let me read that again. Not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we behaved ourselves in the world. There are only two ways to behave yourself in this world. And that's Johnny Green's all about behaving yourself. All about it. Apparently, Caitlin is now too. Behaving yourself. Behaving yourself. There's only two ways. Right here in this verse, only two ways. Either in the grace of God or in fleshly wisdom. And I could set forth these methods to you again, having read this verse, and you could tell me which method falls in what compartment. Set your affection on things above. Does that sound like fleshly wisdom? No, that is the grace of God. Let nothing be worrying you. What in the world? That's not fleshly wisdom. That belongs to the grace of God. Nothing is now condemnation. That's certainly not fleshly wisdom. That's the grace of God. Here's another verse I did not mention in this video yet, but I've mentioned it in every other video on this topic. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. That's not an action, but that is a truth. And it's based not on fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God. Every single one of Johnny's teachings is based on fleshly wisdom because there's only two choices. And he disdains anyone who has a grace channel. In fact, he disdains Jess's channel, which is actually called Rest in Grace. He has thrown it out, and so has Caitlin. They have thrown it out because it didn't work right away for them because they're immature and they don't know how, they don't understand how these things work because they don't understand the spiritual principle. They threw it out. So now they're all about struggle. You know, I would rather that Caitlin would embark on a 12-step program. See, Martin, well, that's definitely fleshly wisdom. That's definitely working in the flesh. No, it's not. Because the first thing, the first principle of a 12-step program, as far as I understand it, is you have to admit that you're helpless. Johnny and Caitlin are not admitting they're helpless, not at all. They're warring against the flesh. A thing that the Apostle Paul gave up on. He disdained his days when he used to do that. Now he walked in spirit. The 12-step program demands that you admit that you're helpless. That's definitely a walk in spirit. They're closer to the truth with the 12-step program than what I've been hearing, what we've been hearing, what we were hearing, what we're not going to hear again, sorry, in Johnny Green's videos. Another aspect of fleshly wisdom would be the law. And these individuals are all about the law now. Romans 7, that road is closed. Paul proves it in Romans 7. The law caused Paul to do the very things that the law prohibited. That road's closed. They don't know that. And I promise you this verse, Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Because the only other alternative to grace is fleshly wisdom, as I said, from 2 Corinthians 1:12. But one big heavy hitter of fleshly wisdom in the fleshly wisdom department is willpower. Willpower. What does Paul have to say about willpower? Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 20. If then you died together with Christ from the elements of the world, why, as living in the world, are you subject to decrees? You should not be touching, nor yet tasting, nor yet coming into contact. Which things are all for corruption from use, in accord with the directions and teachings of men? Struggle is the direction and teachings of men, which are, having indeed an expression of wisdom, look smart with a willful ritual, willful ritual. I'm doing the right things. And asceticism. I am being tough on myself. I determined to exercise my willpower. That's known as asceticism, when you've put strictures on yourself. There's nothing wrong with discipline, ladies and gentlemen, but when it comes to the struggle against sin, it is worthless. And Paul says that these things are not of any value toward the surfeiting of the flesh. They're not of any value toward eliminating the lust, the hungers of the flesh. Let me read this from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. Again, this is Colossians 2:20. So if through your faith in Christ, you are dead to the principles of this world's life, and that is the walk in spirit, dead to the principles of this world's life, through faith in Christ and through grace, why, as if you were still part and parcel of this world system, do you take the slightest notice of these purely human prohibitions? Don't touch this, don't taste that, and don't handle the other. This, that, and the other will all pass away after use. I know that these regulations look wise with their self-inspired efforts at worship, their policy of self-humbling, their studied neglect of the body. But in actual practice, they do honor not to God, but to man's own pride. My God, this is the definition of Johnny Green's and his daughters, of their recipe against the flesh. This is it. Don't taste that, don't touch this, don't handle the other. I know that these things, these regulations, Paul says, according to the J.B. Phillips paraphrase, look wise. Yes, they look wise. Martin Zender looks so stupid, and Jessica looks so stupid with their grace. Just look above. Don't worry about your flesh. Set your affection on things above. There's nothing now condemnation. They hate that message. It doesn't look very wise, but this is what walking in the Spirit looks like. What I'm about to read to you is what walking in flesh looks like. These regulations look wise with their self-inspired efforts at worship. And this whole thing, we're worshiping God. It's false worship. It's self-inspired efforts at worship. And it can only produce temporary results that are not results at all, but rather disasters waiting to happen. I know that these regulations look wise with their self-inspired efforts at worship, their policy of self-humbling. You heard Johnny's videos for a month. His policy is self-humbling. That's his whole gig. That's his bag, man. Self-humbling. And their studied neglect of the body. That's his bag. And this is Caitlin's bag, too, because she talks about struggle against your sinful nature. That's also Paul describes it here as studied neglect of the body. In the concordant version, Paul calls it a willful ritual and humility and asceticism. It's a ritual humility. It's a humility on parade, which is not humility at all, is it? No, it's pride in a humility suit. It's fake. And it's worthless. Their policy of self-humbling, their studied neglect of the body, but in actual practice, they do honor not to God. No, not to God, but to man's own pride. And Johnny Green was one of the proudest men I've seen in a long time in those sickly videos of his. And now let's read from their favorite version. Caitlin's favorite anyway. I caught Johnny quoting from it a couple times. The New Living Translation. Let's see what that has to say. Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23. You've died with Christ. And he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion. And everybody wants to look like they're devoted, like they're serious. Martin Zender's just not serious. He's not taking this seriously enough. He's not treating sin with the proper respect it deserves. These things, these rules seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. It is grace, grace alone, must be trusted and waited upon, but it is the foundation built upon the rock of the sacrifice of Christ.